All right. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Yes, I haven't disappeared off the face of the planet, but praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for all of your prayers here lately, and thank you for everything that's been going on. And I'll tell you what, I can feel your prayers. I appreciate it. Thank the good Lord for each and every one of you. I just can't give you enough. For me, thanking you all for doing that for me and thanking the Lord here this morning. I'm going to be over in the book of Philippians this morning, the second chapter. If you want to turn over there, very familiar scripture. You don't have to stand just yet. I want to. I got a story to tell you. You may have heard this story before. You may not have. But this is a story about an old man that was walking a cow and a horse. He was walking him down an old country road. He was moving from one field to another. You know how you do when you try to get the pasture. You know, you want to get to keep the pasture good. But anyway, he was walking down through there, and as he's walking them, he went around a bend, and a car came. And as the car came around the bend, it got out of control on this gravel road, and it hit all three of them. It knocked them all into the ditch. It knocked the cow, it knocked the horse, and knocked the old man over into the ditch. And so they called the police, and the police came. And whenever the policeman got there, of course, the first thing he went up to was the cow, and the cow had broken legs, so he ended up to put it out of its misery. He pulled his gun out, and he shot it. And then he went to the horse, and the next thing he did, he pulled out, he'd seen the horse had broken legs too, so he pulled the gun out and shot the horse too. It was dead. So he walked over to the old man, and the old man was laying there in the ditch, and he said, "Are you okay?" He said, "I am perfectly fine. I'm perfectly fine." The reason I want to tell you that for is he went to court a few weeks later about this, and the guy, the lawyer, the defense, the lawyer that was trying to convict the guy because he'd sued him, he sued this guy. And the guy asked him, he said, "Well, I just want a simple answer, yes or no, out of you. Did you say you were okay whenever the cop said?" And he started to tell his story, tried to tell it three times. And the lawyer kept going back, "No, I just want a simple yes or no." And finally, the judge turned to him and said, "Well, yeah, let the man tell his story." And the reason I say that, you may think it's funny, is sometimes we do Scripture the same way, because I want to talk about having Scripture that contextually lines up. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes we pull Scripture from here, and we try to make something out of it that it's not. And you got to have the whole context of what it's about to understand Scripture. So I want to go down that path with you this morning, and you know, and sometimes it's not as simple as a yes or no. Sometimes it's not as simple as just a black and white. It's time we have to dig into it. Because, you know, we're giving a wonderful story here. We're giving this Bible is wonderful. And Jesus said, "Whosoever will," whenever he said that, he meant that. "Whosoever will can be saved." Am I right? And so, for us as Christians, we need to pick up this scripture. We need to pick it up. We need to understand it. And contextually, we need to understand it. And I thought about this as I went down through it today. So if you are, turn to Philippians, the second chapter. We're going to read verses 12 and 13, if you would, please. If you get there, if you can, please stand this morning. And let's read God's word together, please. All right. Philippians 2. 12 and 13, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence." Now listen to this. "Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling." How many of you have heard that before? Can I have a witness? Okay. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to thank you. I want to praise you for the opportunity we have here, Father. I pray, Lord, that the hearts would be open. I pray, Father, that the scripture would go out, Lord, that the word would go out, Lord, that you'd get me out of the way. I pray for the anointing this morning, Lord. I pray for all those that are here this morning, the hearts would be open, Lord. And the Father, Lord, we could take this scripture and we could let it sink in, Lord, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen, and amen, amen. How many of you in here have ever quoted that scripture? Has anybody ever quoted that scripture? You can raise your hand this morning. I've quoted it. I've used it. I've used it in different ways. Have you ever used it to talk about an individual, to an individual, or about yourself sometimes? And the reason I'm going to get into this sometimes, because I've used this scripture before to try to justify things. You understand? Sometimes we use the scriptures to try to justify things in our life. That's what I'm going to say. But sometimes we take it out of context, and whenever we do that, we're not doing the scripture justice. Not at all. You have to work out your own salvation. And we've used it this way. You've got to work out your salvation. I've got to work out my salvation. You're responsible for your way of thinking, and I'm responsible for my way of thinking. And you're saying you're on your own, and I'm on my own when it comes to this. The Lord has showed me something about this scripture as I tried to study for it this week. He has showed me, Dave, he said, that is not always the case to what we're talking about here. And I'm going to back up and I'm going to show you what the Lord is meaning here in the scripture when in the context we're trying to say it is. That's how we tend to apply this passage of scripture sometimes. What's good for Greg may not be good for me. What's good for Ken may not be good for me. I'm here to tell you this morning, that is not always the case, and that is not the case when you're talking about this scripture here. And I'll show you here shortly. We all have to do our own thing and believe our own thing. That is not correct all the time. That is not. And as I got to studying this sometimes, I think about this. I said, Lord, you know, here's an old man right here. This is an old man right here that can learn. You ever heard of a dog? And you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You can teach this old dog a new trick, especially when the Lord's trying to show me something. Amen? Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible has a lot to say about personal responsibility. Everybody in here has personal responsibility for some things. But in the text, what Paul was speaking about this morning, the point that he's trying to get across is so that we do know that this is not looking at this in the context it's meant to be looked at in. So what is Paul saying? Work out your own salvation. Sounds pretty personal to me, doesn't it? It sounds personal to you, I guess, as well. Let's back up to Philippians 1:27. This is where it starts to try to get us into the context of what this scripture means. Back up to Philippians 1:27. If you would, please. Say amen when you get there. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs that ye stand. Now I want you to get these points. First, fast in one spirit and in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now I want you to understand this, because whenever you try to understand Philippians 2:12, you got to understand that this is the context of what Paul was trying to get across to the church at Philippi. That's what he's trying to get across. As a matter of fact, if you want to put a side note in your Bible, this is what is, you can reference Philippians 2:12 from this scripture right here. What he is telling the Philippian church is to walk in such a manner. And that goes to us here this morning. I want us to understand it. To walk in such a manner that you walk would be worthy of the gospel of Christ. That our walk would be worthy of the gospel of Christ. What does it look like to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ? What does it look like to where the world would say, these are gospel people. These are Jesus people. These are Christians. What does our walk worthy look like? What does that look like? Paul goes on to tell us that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Do you see any individualism there? Does anybody see any? I don't see a bit of it right there. And that's the context of what Paul was trying to get across here. That is what Jesus people look like. You know the old saying, right? You've heard this. I know you have. If it quacks like a duck, if it swims like a duck, and if it walks like a duck, what is it? It's a duck, right? It should be a duck, right? If ye stand fast in one spirit and in one mind, Unity, brothers and sisters. That's what he's trying to say. That is the way that we can tell Jesus people apart from the world. There's no individualism right there. None whatsoever. Jesus said in Matthew 12:25, and it is especially true in the day and time in which we live in. Now get this. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. It shall not stand. We cannot be as individuals in this thing. We are not individuals in this thing. We are, praise God this morning, brothers and sisters, we are unity in Christ. Am I right? It is a unity. So the exact opposite of unity is division. Am I right? And if you are not walking in unity, Paul telling the Philippian church, you are not furthering the gospel. That's what he's saying. If we are not walking in unity, we are not furthering the gospel. Paul also said in Romans 16:17 about these kind of folks. He said this, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrines which ye have learned. And what's he tell us to do? He says to avoid them. That's what he says. Can we start to see the problem with the way some people have interpreted Philippians 2:12? Can we not start to see a little bit here? Because Paul's trying to tell us, he said, we're all in this together. We're supposed to be walking in lockstep together. So if we're telling one another, well, you know what? Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Work it out the way you feel that you should work it out. That is not always the case. Can we not? If I'm on my own and you're on your own, Paul, when Paul from the very beginning is saying Jesus' people should be walking in unity. In unity. Stand fast in one spirit and in one mind. That's what he says. Stand fast in one spirit and in one mind. Not countless minds. Not countless minds. We can't have countless minds trying to spread the gospel. And I'm talking to Drift Run Church here this morning. This is a big picture of all the church, I understand. But I want to talk to Drift Run Church people here this morning. We got to walk in one mind and one accord. We got to have one mind and one spirit if we want to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's just no doubt about it. Context matters. Context matters. It does. And drop down to verses Philippians 1:28 and 30. Because this continues right up until... And I want to show you how Paul does this. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Paul goes on to say something else about Christians and Jesus' people, about working out your own salvation. This is what he says. When you're in one accord and you're in one mind as a church, you're not afraid of persecution. You're not afraid of it. Why? Because you are walking in lockstep with what Jesus Christ has put out there. You're not afraid of her. You're not afraid of what others may think or say. You're not afraid of those who oppose you. You're not afraid of that. When you're walking in lockstep, when the church is walking in lockstep together, if you walk around afraid of what may happen to you because of what you believe, you're not living worthy of the gospel. Can I have an amen? Amen. You're not. Paul's saying that right here. Paul's saying it, and Paul keeps it going through the same pattern up into chapter 2. Now remember, this is all pointing to Philippians 2:12. This is where all this is pointing to. Philippians 2:1 and 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy and be ye like-minded. Having the same what? The same love, being of one accord, and he says it again, of one mind. Isn't that? You see where he's going with this? He started it in chapter 1. He carried it over into verse 2, or over into chapter 2. Paul was saying, if Jesus has saved you, you are the gospel people. You are the Jesus people. You are the saved. You are bought by the blood. You are born again. You are encouragers. You're not discouragers. If you have received any comfort from His love, if your spirit bears witness with another Christian spirit, if you are tenderhearted toward others and have compassion for others, then make my joy complete and be like-minded. Love one another. Then be in one spirit and one. Galatians 5:15. Let's go to the opposite. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, for you will be destroyed by each other. Now I want to ask you something. Again, I'm going to point to Philippians 2:12. If you're working out your own salvation in fear and trembling, that's fine. That's what it says to do. But if you're not walking in lockstep with what he says, you're not working out your salvation in fear and trembling. You're not doing it. And that has been my fear with that scripture from the time that I've heard it. I've heard it said, and I've even used it. But my biggest concern was people who want to use it. Listen, there are three sets of scripture that I think even the world knows. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world. They see it at football games, right? They have seen it at football games. And another one that they know, it's judge not, lest you be judged. They'll throw that at you. And this one here, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Especially when they want to work it out to what best fits them and not what fits the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? And he says, Paul goes on to say in verses 3 and 5 there, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. Paul doesn't change the theme. He doesn't change it. You start over here in chapter 1, verse 27. You come right through chapter 2. He's not changing a thing. He's telling the church at Philippi. This is what he's telling them. This is what it looks like to live a life which in such a way that it is worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's what he's saying. That goes to everybody in here this morning. It goes to me. That goes to the preachers, that goes to the teachers, that goes to the deacons, that goes to the person that just sits back on the pews every day. That goes to anybody that is called by Christ's name. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. If you're going to walk in a manner that's worthy of the good news of Jesus, your conceit, your pride, and your ego has to go. Amen? It has to go. There's no place in it for me or you to have any of that stuff in there. There's no place in there for that. None whatsoever. Now, answer me this, and I'm going to ask you this again. If Paul is trying to drive home a point of unity and not doing things out of selfishness and putting others above himself, why do we think that chapter 2, verse 12, means for everybody to work out their own salvation and everybody go their own separate ways? That's not what it means. That is not what it means. And I have been guilty. I'm going to be the first here. I'm going to raise my hand. I've been one that has looked at this in that way sometimes down through the years, thinking to myself, they're not going to tell me what to do. I'll work out my salvation. That is selfish. That is pride. That has got ego involved in it. And I'm going to be the first to stand up here and raise my hand. I don't know about you all, but if this message is just for me this morning, it's just for me this morning. But I'm here to tell you that is not what this is not what this is about. Does it make any sense that verse 12 does the exact opposite direction and is telling everybody else to do something different? Do your own thing, your own life. Think what you want to think. I'll think what I want to think. Context is everything. Contextual of the Scripture is everything. Remember that when you're studying. There are Scriptures, and I'm going to get into some of them, that people twist around sometimes. And if the Lord allows me, I want to get into them. And I'm going to tell you that I am, but if God allows me. Sometimes I say stuff, and God doesn't allow me to go ahead with it. I'm not doing that this morning. Think what you want. Listen, no, Paul was telling the church at Philippi, he was telling them this: work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, but do it in the proper context of what the Scripture means. Think of others before you do this. Think of others. Do it in love, one for another, not for selfish reasons. And unfortunately, we do that sometimes for our own selfish reasons. Why? Because, brothers and sisters, we're all in this together. I don't know about you, but I've got lost in my family. I've got people in my family that are lost. I've got people in my family that need Jesus Christ in their heart. And I can almost say there, everybody in here could raise their hand for the same thing. We need to be walking in lockstep. We need to be gospel people. We're all in this together. To work it out, to work out that. Instead, it should be we're all going to consider each other while we're working these things out in fear and trembling. Can I have an amen? Paul gives us more examples. And I love this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Right? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Did you get all that down through there? That sounds like, you know, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself, but took upon the form of a servant. He took upon Jesus. Paul's given us the greatest example that ever was about this Scripture. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, but remember, Jesus come here and took on the form of a servant. He was humble. He did things in the way that sometimes we want to work out our own salvation. We want to be it about us. It's not about us. It's not about what I want. It's not about what Patty wants. It's not about what Tink wants. It's not about what Greg wants. It's about what Jesus wants. It's about what the Bible wants for us. The next time someone says, well, you need to work. We'll just work out our salvation in fear and trembling. You ask him, are you working it truly out in fear and trembling? Or are you working it out to serve your self-interest? Because sometimes that happens. That happens. And then whenever that happens, that is not doing no good for anybody. It's not doing any good for anybody. Absolutely not. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed not in my presence only, but now much more in the absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do what? Your pleasure? What's it say? His good pleasure. His. We are not to work our salvation to satisfy the flesh. We're not to do that. Or to make what we want to do all right. We're not to do that. But to work it out in fear and trembling, working in the unity with other Christians to do what? To spread the good news of the gospel. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Teresa, I've used that scripture a bunch of times to justify things that I want. Work out my own salvation. You just stay over in your little corner. You just stay over there. You leave me alone. I'll work out my own salvation. I was selfish, egotistical, and I could go right down the list. And that's not the way it's meant to be. I hope and pray this morning that you understand. God showed that to me. Maybe it was just for me, Jamie. I don't think so. But sometimes I think, brothers and sisters, we need to do that, and we need to get on our knees and say, God, please, help me work it out with what you want me to work it out with. Amen? Amen. They come and get a song this morning.